Okay. Here we go. This feels different. This feels different. It is different. It's the solo cast. It's me diving into realms that are quite uncomfortable for me, speaking directly to you with no one to save me. No one to just save that moment of silence. Interesting. I just want to firstly say thanks for joining me for this podcast, this 100, this milestone, this three-digit realm, which I've never entered and didn't even think, well, that's not true. I did think it was possible. I definitely thought it was possible. I was witnessing others do the same. Did I think it was possible for me? No. There was a lot of self-doubt. There was a lot of lack of belief in me to reach this. It's been a long journey. And I'm going to give you some context to that journey. What it's been like, what I've learned over 100 episodes, and how my journey really began. I'm going to give you some context for that. It's taken 3.5 years to get here. I'm not stopping. Entering the three-digit realm. What is ahead? A lot's behind, it feels like. A lot is behind. A lot is behind this podcast. A lot goes into this podcast. And I want to take a moment of reflection, a moment of celebration, a moment of honouring how long it's taken to get here, and a moment of gratitude to those who have come on and spread their wisdom and explored this human experience with me. It's been an absolute journey, and who knows, you may have been listening to this since the beginning, or you may just be tuning into this right now and you may be starting to take me seriously. Episode 100, okay, he means it. Yep, episode 100, I kind of in this for the long haul. This podcast's definitely gaining momentum. It's been a long journey. Let's delve into some of it. Let's go back down the road and explore what the intentions were, what the intentions are now, what remains. And I'm going to talk a bit about my journey and why I created the podcast. I think why you do something is equal to the thing. It really does make up the thing. I was guided into an ice bath, very well, the other week at our NatLife coaching level one. Shout out to Sam Boot. And he really honed in on the why. And so did Simon Sinek. And so did many others. And so did Viktor Frankl. The why. If you know your why, you can bear almost any how. Why are you doing the thing you're doing? And why are you showing up for things? Why are you showing up to the life and the way you do? I believe it's that question that we can all ask ourselves and get a lot of fruit from. A lot of answers can come. A lot of things can come up when we sit with that. Go within or go without. What is your why? What is my reason for showing up to this podcast, for dedicating the amount of time that I do? Even when I ask that, emotions come up. It's like, good God, yeah, you do spend a lot of time on this podcast. Why? Because there's belief. The belief is linked to the why. Why am I showing up to this podcast so much? I believe in the power of it. I believe in the infinite potential it has to impact and shift and change perspectives and to lend itself to anyone for free who wants to start to make change. It's really about that. It's about change. If there was nothing to change, then why would I be doing this? If there was nothing to change, then I don't think I would be having these conversations. They'd look very different, probably laugh a lot more. So the podcast really is rooted in that. It's rooted in noticing there's a need for some context to the human experience, to some unagendered information that has benefited me greatly. Conversations that are rooted in truth, authenticity, and connection to ourselves authenticity being a key fucking cornerstone of this podcast. So to have an authentic conversation and for that to be heard in the media world, in a medium like this, there was so many times in my life where I was looking around and so uninspired by people. There was many times that I just wasn't connecting with what I was listening to. The information I was hearing, the media, the news, the social media, it was all agendered in some way, and it all had some point it was trying to like promote. That's propaganda, essentially. But there was so much of that. For me, podcasts have really changed the world. Like, they have. It's incredible how someone can start a platform, have conversations, produce content, have it be there forever. And these conversations go around the world. That, for me, is a big reason why I do this, because the potential of that to create change is incredible. Why do I talk about the things I do? We'll get into that. The conversations that I have, they have an intention. They have a reason why I have the conversations. There's a reason there. And other than the truth, the authenticity and the connection, there's a bigger intention at play here. Because I notice there is forces at play that don't want us connected to ourselves. There's a numbing in our culture. There's a disconnection to so much magic that exists. And I've been fortunate to meet people who have really inspired me to connect back to the magic and make life sacred again. Because life is sacred. Life is incredibly sacred. Walking, experiencing, breathing, eating, connecting, being intimate. It's all incredibly sacred. And they're all of those things for free. This podcast has never been about selling or telling people what they need. It's an invitation to reconnect with a part of you that has been told that there's no room for that, that it's wrong to experience life in this way or that way. I know that we're all born with curiosity, with a playful, energetic, connected, unconditionally loving soul. Call it a soul, I don't really use that word a lot. I just said soul. We're all born with this. But somewhere along the way, probably around the ages of 7 to 14, people came in and they told you, it's not okay to do that. It's not okay to express that way. And they labeled, and their conditioning impacted you and developed conditions that you put on yourself. And I say this because it's exactly what happens in all walks of this life. But it doesn't need to be that way. Of course, I resonate with these words because I've experienced them. And the invitation is to look back and to understand where you disconnected, where you severed parts of yourself. I'm going to talk a bit about my journey. But this really is at the foundation of this podcast. It's to bring light, to create a space for a conversation where we can shine new light on aspects of ourselves, to create an environment that connects us back to who we were. Because we are so whole, and there is nothing wrong with you. Some things have just been forgotten, and the process now is to remember that you are connected. To quote Seth Hughes, you are from here, you are part of this place. I'm sure many people did say that, not just Seth. You are from here. You are connected innately. To quote Tony Riddle, you are a connected, innately connected, empowered human being. You really are. Like, there's no two ways about it. I believe that. I believe in environments that bring that out and allow that to be expressed. I've seen it. This is the healing journey. This is what people talk about in this space. It's nothing radical. People have been doing this for many, many years. But more than ever, I believe that these conversations, these spaces need to be being created. And that's the work for me. It's creating a space here, a dialogue, a conversation about this remembering who we really are and how we don't really need any more stuff. The whole nature side of things, the further we get away from it, the sicker we are. That's a big conversation. And it makes a lot of sense. I'm not going to delve into too much around that. For me, we have to go there. We can focus on the spiritual, we can focus on the community side of things and how to grow certain vegetables, and we can focus and be specialists in all of this, whatever it might be. Like, we get to decide, sure. But I do believe, unless we are looking at this whole body approach that I spoke about in the introduction 3.5 years ago, we have to look at all of these aspects of the human experience, how we move, how we breathe, how we eat, how we sleep, how we interact, how we communicate. And it's quite overwhelming at times because there's a lot of aspects. Looking at things in this way is, it's a generalist way. We have to be general about the human experience. We can't just dive into one thing. So all of that has its place. And of course, if you've been listening to this show for a long time, you'll know that all of that truly matters and makes a lot of sense when you dive into some of the understandings that people have known for a long time. You look at people of the world that still live in harmony with their environment. But back to what I was saying, there's been a disconnection, and that's my why. It's why I want to have these conversations and connect back to what makes us human. So it's exploring the intersection between all these things, a disconnection that we've definitely felt, the parts of ourselves that we've let go of that we need to reclaim. And I've been inspired by so many people to keep going on that, keep going on that conversation. For me, a one-way ticket to Singapore when I was 24 was a pretty daunting, exciting, but very daunting experience. I went traveling, connected with some friends along the way, started to really open, like the heart opened. I started to experience things, and I remember saying at the time, was this like this, like back, you know, where we live in England? Is the sky like this, or is it just here? Does the sun look like that back home? It's kind of this like weird, I guess, storybook of like, I mean, it's a phrase you'd hear on like some magical adventure in a film or something, but it really was true. Like, I was definitely experiencing some heightened states of awareness, of like consciousness expanding, and it's not until now that I really realized that's what was happening. I do believe that getting out of your own way in that respect and being quite uncomfortable most days and exploring the boundaries of, you know, what you think you know and what you've been conditioned to believe about life, about culture, really, the way people live. It's not until that gets stretched that you can really access so much more. And what I mean by that is people, again, put their conditions and put things in boxes and what is and isn't possible. And until you start exposing yourself to different ways of seeing the world, it isn't until then that you start to unlock things in yourself. And that was definitely what was happening for me. At the time, I didn't really have any self-awareness. There wasn't much introspection happening, like, willingly. Not that I do now. There wasn't much going on in terms of my ability to notice my patterns, notice things come up in relationship, or noticing why I couldn't trust anyone, or what was happening externally was really a reference and a mirror for what was happening internally. Like, I was creating all of it. I was creating the experiences I was having. So when I didn't have any people around me that I couldn't rely on, that was just a reflection of that I couldn't rely on myself, that I didn't really know myself. And I do believe until that starts to happen, until you can really trust yourself and be there for yourself and really feel safe within you, that will just start mirroring on the outside for the most part. Of course, there's always circumstances that don't allow that. But that is generally what's going to happen. And I didn't have that awareness. I didn't have that perspective. So I was on this journey and I was experiencing so much. My consciousness was increasing, let's say. And this is me making sense of it through the limiting language that we have on this planet. But there was stuff happening for me, for me, to me, through me. And for 2 years I traveled, and 2 years I had these crazy, phenomenal experiences. I remember writing so much. I remember writing a blog called The Geysers Great Adventure that I've still got threads of that. And it was chaptered, and I was going to write a book, and I was writing handwritten letters back to people that I knew back home. And like, I was experiencing so much in such a short space of time, but I really wasn't connected to myself. I wasn't connected to food in the way I am now. I wasn't connected to movement or any of it. I wasn't really experiencing any connection. I was living a lot in my head. So I was experiencing all this, and of course we start to know new information and things start to happen, but it's the embodiment that wasn't there. And of course this is the process, it's knowing, doing, being. We have to know something first, and then we have to do it a lot, and then we become it. And that is the process, and often that gets missed. And the knowing, the ego starts to grip to the, oh, I know this now, so I am it. That was true for me for a long time. And I think this all comes down to what's happening psychologically in a boy's mind who hasn't had a clear indication of, I've gone from being a boy, being dependent on my mum, being in the family home and kind of causing a ruckus and just not having very healthy conversations. And of course there's a lot of play there, but going from the boy to then going from the man, that there's no clear marker there of like what needs to happen or what can happen to suggest a severing of that boy mindset. So it was such a muddy, murky period over those, I don't know, 5-8 years, maybe more, of like really process of going into manhood, of what that really means on a psychological standpoint. So it's so murky, and there's so many like crazy situations that I got myself in that I was never fully embodying what I knew made sense to me, of like stepping into more responsibility and wanting to take on a mission that I set for myself, and like understanding like, okay, this is the direction I'm going and I'm going to go there. And the things that come with that in like an adult sense, like there's a clear indignation of what it means to be an adult, means to take care of yourself, take care of others, to have responsibility. And I just didn't have that. And I'm sure this resonates with a lot of people, but this is how I'm making sense of it over the years and what I've understood needed to happen. And if it wasn't due to Nina, who was my previous partner, like, she shined a light on so much. And this is what happens in relationship. All of the parts of yourself are revealed, and it's very evident what the patterns are. Someone else can see that in that intimate environment, in that arena, and they can show you a mirror and they can be like, this is what's happening, look. And you don't want to see it. She actually physically got a mirror one day, put a mirror up to me and said, you need to love yourself. Shined a mirror. The mirror was shining. She put the mirror up to my face and told me I need to love myself first. And I couldn't love another person until that was done. That was pretty daunting. That was when I came back. But quite a metaphor for how in relationship we can discover a lot about ourselves. And it was in that container that I really was held accountable, lovingly, but also I saw the behavior, I saw the patterns of what were clear previous generations. So that relationship, which simultaneously through traveling, really hit me hard. And there was a lot of growth, and there was a lot of leaning into my own experience and my own trauma, shame, feelings of unworthiness, lack of self-love, all of it. There was so much in that period of my life. I don't know who I'd be without that relationship. Along that period of time, traveling, coming back, and still, you know, having to chop wood, carry water, still be in the world and earn money and figure this stuff out, but also carving out time to introspect and go inward and not prioritize money. That's a big one. We sacrifice our time for that. And that's been a struggle for me over so many years, where I really developed a relationship with money that didn't serve me and still doesn't. And I'm still rewriting those patterns. That money's bad, that money makes people cautious, that money doesn't serve me because it's rooted in evil, and money controls and corrupts. And it can be a really detrimental story to carry. I know that. And I was battling with that. Also understanding I didn't want to prioritize money because I was looked around me and I was understanding so many people were being corrupted and sacrificing their lives for this thing that on the whole is not making people happy. There's a lot in that, I know. And now I'm renegotiating my kind of relationship with money. I don't believe that it's possible to have a healthy relationship with money unless you have a healthy relationship with yourself. And that's nuanced, because what does healthy mean? You know, I think health isn't something you can arrive at, but have a sustainable relationship with it, not be dependent on it, not make choices because of it, have a nice degree of separation between you and the thing. Not let it control you, not let it drive fear and stress. I think there's many things to that conversation that I'm not going to go too deep into. Someone said the other day that enlightenment is a series of softenings. And I love that, because I believe we're all sensitive beings. I was born very sensitive to things. Like, we have to be sensitive. We've taken that word and we've changed it over time. being sensitive. I think it's powerful to be sensitive, to understand when to turn that on and to turn it off is another thing, but definitely being sensitive, not in an emotionally fragile sense, but attuned to the environment, attuned, just being sensitive to know what goes on inside, to know what goes on. Where is this emotion? Where is it showing up? Where can I feel it in my body? Like, what does this mean for me? What is that? What is that voice? Is it saying this or that? Like, this kind of sensitivity, I think we're born with this. And I don't feel that the world we're born into really helps nourish that and really helps empower it. I think it numbs us. There's so much going on, and we are told so much how to be, what to do. We're sold so many stories. It doesn't help nurture that sensitivity of like, well, you actually know, and you actually know what's right for you. You're born a healer. You're born connected. Let's nurture that sensitivity, because it's going to save your life one day. But what happens is there's numbing over time, and walls get built up, and masks, and your emotions get you in trouble. So of course we want to put the armor on. These things are really important to understand, because it's happened to me, of course, for so many years. And showing emotion on the playground, wherever it might be, in our modern day, this is set up. So things are set up to our detriment, and there's no real emphasis. Of course, mental health creeped in, and the awareness of that. And it's okay to cry. Like, how radical of a statement, it's okay to cry. The very fact that we have to speak about that is so alarming. The very fact that say, oh, mental health's important. How crazy a time that we live that we have to like reinforce these statements. It's okay to talk. It's okay to not be okay. All these statements that we have to repeat and just express over and over again to get the message across. The human experience, like, Jesus. All these things are just innate, they're natural, they're so key to us as a whole human being. But we have nullified, we've numbed the human experience, whether it happens on the playground, whether it happens in the home. We have to understand that most of us haven't had emotionally mature parents, that haven't had people around them that they can rely on or they can connect to. Like, most people don't have that. And it's really important to understand context is everything. So enlightenment is a series of softenings. So when we understand these things about ourselves, and when we soften, when things allow us to soften, whether it's a sunset or whether it's the way the rain's falling and rainbows appear, like the softening that happens in that experience. Maybe it's not external, maybe it's more internal, and something shifts and you witness something, you hear it on a podcast, or you're going to tune yourself into something, and you're going to listen to that voice maybe inside that's asking to you to make a change, or that knows something's not right, and there's a softening in those moments. What then happens? It allows you to lean in, to feel in. But we can't do that unless we feel safe to do so. That's why I know the environment that this podcast is creating and the circles that I'm now in allow us to soften. They allow us to tune in, to feel safe to soften. Because of course, the shell is hard. We are hard when we need to be. And I'm not sat here telling you that you just need to be soft. I think if you take a little YouTube search and root around on the internet, you'll know quite quickly that there are people being born in this world that have softened a little too much. The quote goes, hard times create hard people. Hard people make good times. Good times create soft people. Soft people create hard times. And so the cycle goes. That's another rabbit hole I'm not going to go down. It's important to be sensitive. It's important to have an understanding of the image you have about yourself, and the way you feel about yourself is very, very important and crucial to how to thrive in the world. I've come to understand that. I put up a post the other day, which I need to really look at a little bit more. I said the image that other people have on you affect the way you feel about yourself. I'm going to say that again. The image that people have about you affect the way you feel about yourself. I think that's true, but I don't think it's the priority. I think growth and healing and self-development and expansion, ascension, it's all about the image you have of you. That is first and foremost. I think what's needed in these times isn't the influence of the tribe. There'll always be people waiting to resonate with you, waiting to welcome you into their space. There'll always be those people now. Like, we have to override that psychological imprint that would have kept us alive, that says we need to impress others, that we need to get the approval of others. We do not need to do that for these times. We don't need to appease others. We don't need to seek the validation and approval from others. So I take back what I was saying. I think it's really important to realize that the image you have about yourself first, that is going to affect how other people feel about you, whether they accept you or not, whether they feel something's quite off, or the world is a mirror. And the way you feel about yourself first is going to affect how people see you and feel about you too. So primarily, that relationship with yourself is the most important to strengthen, to tighten, to bond with. Spending time alone, writing, journaling, understanding the psychology of you, the internal landscape, how you think about yourself, how you talk to yourself, the things that you can say to yourself that you're going to do and then follow through. Like, how does that appear? Trusting yourself, knowing that if you say something, you're going to do it. Like, having that dialogue, but then backing it up in the physical. Saying that this is the way I'm going, and focusing in on something and then doing it. That has a big correlation to the way you feel about yourself. As within, so without. They both are important. Affirmations are only as good as the person who actually believes them. So words are powerful, but they can also be just words. And you'll judge what you don't understand. So what you don't understand about yourself, of why it's there. If you don't understand the context of why something has appeared the way it has within yourself, you will judge it. I do believe that. You'll judge yourself for not doing enough or not being responsible. If you don't understand why you're not responsible, why you don't feel enough, when did that narrative and that story become true for you? Because you were not born with, I am not enough. So a series of softenings. That's been the process. It resonated hard when I heard that. That's been the process. Softening over time. Another big thing that's come in this last year is the courage to feed it all. Having the courage to feel kind of trickles on nicely from the softening. Wow, feeling. That's what we call it. But it's understanding this internal landscape. It's understanding it better. It's getting a dialogue back in to this connection, to this thing, that allows you to open and experience the world in a bigger sense. The deeper we can go with ourselves, the deeper we can go with others. The more we feel the pain, the more we feel the grief, the more we feel the sadness, the more we feel the joy, the more we feel the happiness and the contentment and the peace. It's so true. And unless we go deep, we won't be able to reach high. convince me otherwise, but that is what I know to be true. So developing the space to grieve and understanding that that is quite primary, quite viscerally important to grieve, to spend time in the sadness and not stay there. Understand when you've been too long in that space, but understand that if you're not feeling sad in moments, if you're not feeling the despair of what you see around you, and that can break your heart, or the people of in the world that are not thriving, like, does that make you feel anything? Like, does it make you feel anything? And if not, then why? Are you desensitized to things? These are the questions that I ask myself regularly. Like, can I feel into that? Can I really experience and penetrate that feeling? Because if I'm not able to, then I'm disconnected. If I'm not able to go there, then I'm not feeling that counter, the polarity of that. Then I'm not feeling that joy as much. And it's these spectrums that we can dance around in that I believe is true to thriving in every aspect. We're not meant to be happy all the time. We're not meant to be sad all the time. We're a spectrum. We are a dance in between it all. And it is so important to get that. I want to touch on the men's work that I've been doing really for over a year now, and what's shifted for me in connecting to that mission. I want to talk about the men of Earth, the creation of that, because it's been side by side the podcast for the last 18 months. And since I started a men's group, which is called Men of Earth's Community, January is when it's going to be opening up again to new members who want to come and explore that inner work and self-leadership education on what it means to thrive, live, be a man in the modern day, and understand that internal landscape. And it's really where the most emphasis needs to be understood, that self-knowledge, knowing thyself, knowing the place in the world that we want to be. When did that start making sense to me? I spoke about that a few times, but it's linked, of course, to the very fact that I went a whole year on the podcast just speaking to men and just learning from men and really gravitating towards men's work and what that means. People that are creating spaces and opportunities for men to dive a little deeper. And it's so fucking needed. It has been so needed. It's been needed for me. It's made so much sense for me to create an environment that allows people to speak their truth, allows people to dive into their experience and be heard, be witnessed, and without the need for anyone around you to tell you you're doing great, you know, or you need to do this, or you need to do more of that, or just telling people what they should be doing. It's actually nurturing a space that allows people to create space within themselves to realize and remember what they're a part of, but also how much power and wisdom they already have. David Blaine once said, not to me, but to someone, David Blaine once said, surround yourself with people who make you grow. That always stuck with me. So what does that look like? People around you that allow you to grow. Okay, well, what do they need to have? Well, they need to have integrity in their own selves. They need to stand by some values, need to stand by some things. They need to be pretty healthy, you know. You are the makeup of the people you spend time with. So who inspires you? Who allows you to be you? Who allows you to be more authentic? To laugh, to cry, to... Who doesn't shame you? Who doesn't judge you? Who just allows you to be you and wants that? And wants that real person to shine? Those people are the people that make you grow. But also the people that make you grow are the people that challenge you in healthy ways, that show up for you, that hold you in your potential, but love you in that process. These are the people that I want to be surrounded by. I moved up to the Northeast. I lived there for 5 years nearly. And this was a part of the journey. I was actually in a new space where I didn't know anyone. I wasn't connected to many people that had all these traits. So, as the adage goes, build it and they will come. And that's exactly what happened. So if you're uninspired by the people around you, it comes, of course, with a lot of discomfort. And I'm gonna get onto that. But initially, I had created it. I started a men's group. I launched it with two people and it did not work. Put a lot of pressure on them to show up, and it wasn't generally geared towards that. And I offered to put on an event because I said I would at the beginning and no one wanted to come. So put it out to people, the public, and I got 6 men there. And that changed a hell of a lot, because that weekend reframed and I could not see that coming. I listened to their testimonials and I cried my eyes out the next day. And I was feeling, wow, this is so impactful. This means a lot to them. And as a byproduct, it meant a lot to me to address a need and to create a space where it wasn't about me. It was about what we created and experienced together. And that shifted so much. It sent me on a different direction. And I really connected to that mission. And it's not been linear. And I'm still on it. And it takes a lot for me to refocus and just to, like, you know, realign myself with what it is I'm trying to be a part of and create. Like, it really does take a lot of time, but it impacted me so much because I built it, but what I built it was not what it became. The invisible step syndrome, you can't see the steps unless you make one. So that was what appeared for me, and it's been an amazing process of understanding my power as well, and understanding how I can show up and be of service. It's always made sense to me to be of service in this way. There are no selfless good deeds, and real true happiness is a byproduct of living a meaningful life, and a meaningful life is connected to service. And being fit for service is something that you then realize you need to be. So maybe life's just about that, being of service and being fit for service. And in between, that intersection is where it's at. I'm still on that mission, but it makes so much sense to me to provide these spaces. It's going to change and shift over the years, but that's definitely something that's allowed me to understand a lot about myself, understand a lot about what I value and what I want to stand for. Like, if you ever get the opportunity to spend time in a space that really holds a big mirror up to what you value, ask you deep questions, but really provides a safe environment for you to explore all the aspects of yourself. The men's work is just incredible, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the mission that all these men are really creating and forging a new future for younger generations to actually come and observe, like, men that are willing to step into the fire and take ownership and accountability, responsibility for every aspect of their life. It's very inspiring, and I'm so glad that I get to, and I really honor me stepping into that more and more. So yeah, the men's work, powerful, powerful window into these spaces that I'm a part of. Another thing that I think about a lot in reflection of all the episodes is really how it doesn't serve me to compare myself to anyone else's journey. Maybe that's healing, or even comparing yourself to try and gain some perspective. Like, we haven't got it like they've got it, or there's always someone worse than you, and that can help you feel better about yourself. I don't actually believe that is conducive to growth. Comparing where you're at, it's good to have perspective, but comparing where you're at to someone else's experience, maybe in different parts of the world, it doesn't actually help you alleviate or move out of what it is you're trying to grow from. So it can serve to numb and to disassociate from even further the experience that you want to actually, you know, progress from or reframe. It's just like when we think we have perspective. You know, I'm feeling upset today, or I'm grieving something, or I'm, you know, having a hard time with something. Okay, well, I haven't got it as bad as the people in the Middle East, for example, going through war right now. Okay, that makes me feel quite good in the moment. Okay, I can just bypass what it is I'm experiencing through that. Well, does that actually serve you? Does that serve you just in the moment to allow you to move through the day quicker or better? Or does it actually disassociate yourself from actually progressing and understanding what it is you need to do? Does it distract yourself? Is it a momentary escape from the feeling of despair, of sadness, of uncertainty or fear or not knowing? I really think going into those experiences is the most beneficial. I don't do that all the time. I can sit here and tell you that's what I feel I've learned, but it's not as easy as doing that. But this is just one of the things I've learned. Having so many conversations with people who speak about, you know, the journey of healing or growing as an individual, I think it's that I want to always come back to, is to leaning in to why is this the case. I think that's going to set you free ultimately, and it's generally the story you have about it. I learn a lot from Peter Crone in the way he speaks to things, because it definitely triggers a lot of me, because I don't think it's applicable to everything. He seems to have an answer for everything. And I love the way he speaks, and he's definitely going to feature next year on the podcast. But he really does reframe everything. I think Dr. John DeMartini has just been on Andre's podcast, and I'm loving that podcast at the moment. And there's no situation you couldn't reframe in a moment. And it's not getting you, it's not bypassing the experience, but it's reframing it in your own reference. It's like, oh, it makes sense that I feel that way. So then I can reframe it and understand it differently. And I don't have to let it reside there and dwell. It's really that relationship to the problem that you are causing that suffering. So it's a snapshot into so many experiences that I've had on the past 100 episodes. And I hope that's been valuable, really, as I move forward and I show up better and I'm connected to how I'm showing up more. The connections that I'm really making are so much more healthy than they have been. There's many areas of my life that I need to look at and I need to reapproach. At this time, I'm living in a van and I'm focusing in on the podcast and other areas of work, but so much of it isn't serving me. I still feel like I'm kind of navigating the responsibility to create revenue streams that are going to allow me to move past where I currently am. And I know that's a thing for a lot of people, but I don't want to ever compromise on the integrity I've got with these things and how much I believe in them. And I believe if you are consistent, that will show you success. If you constantly refine and have people around you that you can speak directly to, and they can help you with your refinement, let's say, I think you're going to win. And that is what's true for me. That's how I'm showing up more and more. But it's not linear, and there's going to be obstacles that I'm facing. Intentions for next year for the podcast: to have a lot more high production high production in-person conversations. I don't know where I'm going to have to be to do that. I'd like also to go on the road with a podcast, go to America and take the podcast with me, re-interview some people that I've connected with, and have 2 to 3 weeks in America and have some real conversations in person with people. I know that would feel very good to work in that way. I'm going to Ibiza in January for 2.5 months. I'm going to be taking the podcast there and connecting with some people on the island. And I know a lot of the conversations you're going to be having are going to be rooted in the nature that surrounds us and people that do connect with land in that way and are having conversations that are rooted in living differently and prioritizing different things. So it's an exciting venture to be on for next year. It's going to set the podcast up well. I appreciate your support in whatever way that looks for you. If that's listening, if that's donating to the Patreon account, if that's reaching out and just letting me know how things have landed or how I can improve things or whatever feedback you have, if that's going to Spotify and rating a review 5 stars. There's so many ways you can support and help the podcast reach and grow, and going to YouTube and subscribing, getting me to 1,000 subscribers, which has been a long haul. But it's a great platform that's doing wonders for a lot of people. I believe polarities, of course, but I believe that is the case. So many ways you can support. I am grateful for you listening to this podcast all the way to the end. Exciting year to come. It's been great reaching 100 episodes. And just want to take a collective breath with you right now, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. Just breathing into the fullness of this experience and letting go of anything that's not serving you. Any tension. Just take one more breath and let it go. Look to nature for guidance and honor the ground that you walk. So many people have said those words in different ways. But it's a very simple practice. Look to nature for guidance, honor the ground that you walk. Thank you for listening, people. I love you. I appreciate you.